The following podcast is scheduled for one fall from the home of Cape Championship Wrestling. This is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Hallelujah! 2016 is almost over.
It's still taking names, though.
Oh my god. Literally.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not. That wasn't a bit.
That's the intro for the show. Good night, folks. It's not a happy show. No, hey, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thank you for tuning in once again. We hope you had an amazing Christmas. We're hoping you're having a great week. We hope you are surviving. We don't want to add your name to the list.
The worst list.
Otherwise, they're going to get it. You know what they're going to get, Dalton?
Death.
An obituary. Yeah. My name is Shannon Young, Mr. 100.
We make jokes because we're uncomfortable.
We make jokes to cover the sadness. Yeah. That's what we've always done. We're back with this last of the year episode of Podzilla 1985's Pro Wrestling Unscripted. I almost said just Podzilla 1985, so I kind of covered there to try to make it, try to make it look good. Shannon Young here with you, hosting once again with the usual cast at the end of the table, the five-star man, Ace of Gray.
Yes, sir.
To the right, producer, Ali Hebert.
Hello.
We had a great show last night, by the way. Got a lot of positive feedback from that, and it was a lot of fun.
So, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, want to mention that. And of course, the big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And it's a slow news week this week, for the most part.
It really is.
Is what you said, and yet at the same time, I got a whole list here.
See, but the list is all, like, there's not a whole lot we can spend on topic. I mean, we always tangent. It's 90% tangent.
Oh, we got quite a bit of tangent to go on this show. Just looking at this list here, there's a couple things that I definitely want to talk about. Mm-hmm. Let's start off with, let's see, what's something that's not quite controversial yet? Let's say Mick Foley surgery.
Yes.
Mick Foley was supposed to have hippo replacement surgery.
Hip replacement surgery.
He's
not replacing his hippo. I mean, he might be. I don't know. I don't watch Holy Foley, so that might be.
It doesn't sound like he can afford a hippo by the way the story sounds.
He's got the same hippo he's had for years. So
he's trading up a model hippo.
Yeah. He's supposed to have hip replacement surgery after years of just tearing his body apart. It's still real to him. And the sad thing is he cannot afford to have it, apparently. Or he can't afford to have it. He just doesn't want to pay the money.
Because
much like my hernia surgery. Don't want to shell out the bucks because, much like me, he doesn't have health insurance.
Right. Because that was the thing we even talked about it last week, was he was scheduled to miss a good portion of Raw because he was going to be gone because he's desperately needed this surgery. And he made a Facebook post. I think it might have been earlier today or in the last couple days where he talked about it. He's like, yeah, I mean, everyone was talking about it. It was pretty well known, but it's not actually going to happen because he doesn't have health insurance and he doesn't want to pay the $60,000 it would cost to...
Two part with that. One, it's ridiculous that Mick Foley doesn't have health insurance.
Right.
There's a difference between Shannon Young, mild-mannered, video game employee, not having health insurance, and Mick Foley, superstar wrestling legend, not having insurance. Two, it's ridiculous that it's $60,000 for the surgery.
Yeah.
American healthcare.
And part of it is because he is apparently the only contract he has is his Legends deal, which is strictly merchandise.
Right.
He's on a handshake deal for his television appearances, which is kind of nuts. But, I mean, it just goes with that whole independent contractors thing. They're not actual employees, so.
Yeah, but it's really shocking that Vince McMahon would do that, considering how much bad luck he's had with handshake deals.
Yeah.
Look at Lex Luger. Look at Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. You know, mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was either Jim Cornette or Jim Ross on the Monday Night War DVD saying that Vince McMahon never made that mistake again after what happened with those guys.
At the same time, like, there is nothing that even comes close to
WCW in the
90s. Yeah, if Mick Foley showed up on TV on Impact, I mean, yeah, it would be big, but...
Would it be big?
He did.
He was already there.
Yeah, exactly. It would be big because he wasn't on WWE that week, but...
I just can't believe that, yeah, like, Vince McMahon isn't just like, okay, yeah, here you go, just go to the doctor now. Blank check.
Remember that time?
Whatever you need because of everything you have given to my company.
And to be fair, can we give Vince McMahon a little bit of credit here? Maybe.
Nope.
Well, I mean, you're right. That does sound a little odd. Almost like Mick Foley hasn't asked for it.
Oh, no. If someone comes to Vince like, hey, so you know how Mick was going to take off that time for the hip replacement surgery that he so desperately needs? Yeah, he's not doing that anymore because he can't afford it and he doesn't have insurance.
If someone said that to him.
You don't think that the guy who kind of linchpinned the turning point of the Monday Night Wars deserves a $60,000 bonus in the sense of, oh, I can just walk around?
If you're asking me, I absolutely do, of course. But I still feel like for a company that has given money to people for less, there would has to be some kind of reason that Mick Foley isn't getting the money from him. I believe that. Like,
I mean, I would like to think that he said no to it or it was offered
to him
or something.
And that's what I'm getting to, is that maybe,
but
maybe his, because Mick Foley's a prideful guy, like very prideful. He's outspoken against WWE even when working with them. If they offered him money for it, I could almost see him saying no to it. Like, no, I don't want your money. I don't want you to own me. I don't want that favor. Because I know personally myself, whenever I need money, I don't like to ask for it, and I don't like when people give it to me. So I could see Mick Foley being the same way.
It's different. Like, that's two different things, though. This is a company that is giving him employment that he has literally destroyed his body for. Like, whenever I hear that, I think of him getting thrown off Hell in the Cell. Just like, yeah, Vince, you kind of owe it to him to pay his insurance bills for the rest of your life.
Probably, but why doesn't he have insurance on his own?
Because it's not offered through WWE, I guess, apparently, because he's on that handshake deal.
Yeah, but with Obamacare and all these things that are in place now, you can get independent health care. I can get independent health care.
The deadline's over.
Well, yeah, but he still could have gotten it before. Like, there's
potentially,
no reason.
Potentially, unless he didn't, he might not have qualified based on his income or the nature of the handshake deal. Like, if he doesn't know, you know, how much money to actually claim, like, that's
a possibility.
It's not just, it's very easy to, you know, not qualify for it. In assuming that he's making significantly more money than the average person who is going to use the Obamacare feature.
But I just feel like there's a lot of unknowns in here that you really can't make.
I'm not absolutely condemning Vince.
Yeah, it's hard to,
like,
make a judgment
outright.
Call on this.
I feel like, you know, if I were Vince, I would like to think that I would be doing everything in my power to try to help this person who has empirically done just so much and has given so much for
assuming that
my
he
company.
Hasn't and Mick Foley didn't decline it.
Right.
Because, I mean, they even gave money to Sonny to go back to rehab for the 40th
right.
time.
Yeah.
Like, it would honestly disappoint me. And I'm disappointed in WWE a lot, but it would honestly disappoint me if Mick Foley didn't get the help he needs from this company who throws money at people that, I mean, look at Sonny. They gave her money to go to rehab after she did porn and sold her Hall of Fame ring and badmouth WWE, and they still paid for her to go to rehab.
Yeah.
So you're telling me they wouldn't pay for Mick Foley?
But I'm assuming rehab is not $60,000.
I think it depends on which rehab you go to. Yeah, I think the first time Sonny went to rehab is one of those really nice Malibu places. At this point, it's just like a shack over here by SEMO. It's that place that used to be the fish
the
store.
The fish restaurant.
Yeah.
Legitimate Business.
Legitimate Business Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we'll keep up with that.
I don't know. My heart kind of breaks for him because he talks about, like, if it wasn't for DDP Yoga and dropping all that weight, like, he would be immobile.
Because he lost 100 pounds. Good for him. Yeah.
And looks good, too. Like,
well, he looks thinner.
Yeah.
He doesn't look good.
I mean, he looks better.
I remember seeing him 100 pounds ago.
I just mean that beard. Like, I know he likes Santa Claus, but that beard's got to go. He ranks as my number one most hated beard in WWE.
Really?
You know what used to be number one?
Daniel Bryan.
I hated Daniel Bryan's beard so much. I mean, so much. Isn't he such a nice looking fellow? Like, with the shorter beard and the shorter hair. Like, the fact that's what got him over, that was part of what got him over,
mm-hmm.
was the fact that he had the beard and they called him the goat and all that,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to him just being a good looking guy who could go in the ring. That always made me a little sad. You know?
Okay. I did not have that reaction to it, but.
90% tangent.
90% tangent.
Allie, what's your most hated beard in WWE?
I don't know. I haven't rated the beards.
Well, okay, but on a scale of 1 to 5, would you give Daniel Bryan's beard a 5, or would you be a liar?
But Daniel Bryan's
beard. But
you don't like Daniel Bryan's beard.
You like his beard now.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So you're asking what I would rate his beard now? Why are we rating beards?
I feel like you're just trying to see how derailed it can get.
Asa, your female friend is clearly out of her mind right now. So I'm going to address this to you.
It's clearly hysterical. I like Futurama.
Thank you. Me too. Let's move on to something a little bit more controversial, and that is the Cody Rhodes reaction to the segment on Raw. Now, Allie, you don't know about this yet.
No, I don't.
No one informed you.
No, they didn't.
Well, let's tell you what happened. So on Raw, because I remember this segment that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Bayley comes out and gives Goldust a like a stuffed teddy bear.
It's like a little mini teddy bear that was dressed in the black and yellow polka dots for Dusty and the headband.
And she said something along the lines of, you know, there wouldn't be a me without you, without Dusty, or he took care of us or something like that. Something really sweet. And gave it to Goldust for Christmas. Legitimately sweet moment. And I saw on, I think it was Twitter, or it was on 411 Mania. They had a picture of it. And it was on from WWE's Twitter, and it's like best Christmas gift ever. That's all I saw of it. And then I saw the next day, it said Cody Rhodes' reaction to it, and it was negative. And I thought, why would he be negative to this? This is, that was a genuinely sweet moment. Because I didn't see what happened after. Asa, tell her what happened after.
What happened after was, Gallows and Anderson approached the Golden Truth. Gallows called them nerds, which no matter what the segment is, Gallows calling someone nerds just makes me smile.
It's the greatest thing.
And Anderson took the bear and ripped the head off and threw it on the ground. Which, boo, bad guy did a mean thing. And then Goldust tried to go after him and they had a match. And Anderson actually got a win, which was the biggest news story of 2016, I think. And then Cody Rhodes tweet, basically, I don't remember the exact tweet that he sent, but it was something along the lines of, I'm not going to be angry or, you know, toxic or, you know, but I just hope that whoever produced that segment never has to know what that feels like. It's just like, oh, that's sad.
And then the reaction from the internet community was a mixture of
mixed of sympathy and
oh, well, Dusty would have done that.
Well, Dusty would have done that, and you're calling yourself the American Nightmare, which is clearly
a playoff of American
yeah. Dream. And of course, the difference being he's his goddamn son.
Yeah.
So
That American Nightmare shirt is amazing looking.
But okay, back on this though, clearly they would have had to have okayed this with Goldust.
I mean,
he's also his son.
Or was it, hey, here's what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
But, and to be fair, in defense of WWE, this wasn't a disrespectful thing to Dusty.
No.
This wasn't them saying, you know, they didn't go out and say, no, Dusty sucks.
This wasn't like CM Punk and Paul Bearer to me, because that was a little bit more disrespectful. And I'm not saying this because of Punk. Mm-hmm. Punk was doing what he was told. But that was very much, I don't know, mocking in a way.
Well, and that was also immediately after.
Which was, in poor taste. Or the Eddie Guerrero stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This, that's a sore subject. So this was definitely more of a, it was just a heat segment.
Yeah, this was just to
but it was cheap heat.
Yeah.
You know.
It's the same thing, it's the same thing we talked about last week with The Miz and calling out, Renee Young for sleeping with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, they took the low
it's
road.
It's just, it's like, that's easy to do.
It was unnecessary.
It feels unnecessary.
Please tell me if I'm imagining this, because there was one thing that we never talk about when it comes to the low road, humiliating kind of, well, that was over the top segments. And please let me know, Dalton, I figure you would know because we always go to you like a professor for some reason, if you remember this. But was there a time when, and I don't remember who was feuding, it may have been The Miz and Jerry Lawler, where Jerry Lawler's mother died. And like the week after, someone mentioned his mother. And Jerry Lawler said something like, don't you, if you ever mention my mother again. And I remember thinking at that point, like, that's just, as someone who lost his mother, like, you don't go there. Like, that's a place you don't go, especially for wrestling heat. Dead family members should be off limit. Reed Flair.
I was about to say, it's like, you say that, but Reed Flair, that was a thing. We mentioned Eddie Guerrero. Whenever Eddie Guerrero died, all of that went to Rey Mysterio, not Chavo, who is his nephew.
Yeah.
Like, WWE and deaths, they really don't, I'm not going to say they don't care because that sounds bad, but they're very exploitive.
Well, because as much as WWE tries to separate itself as high art in the world of wrestling,
CM Punk,
it's still carny.
CM Punk faked a heart attack making fun of Jerry Lawler.
Yeah.
Like, that or wait, happen. No, it wasn't CM, it was Paul Heyman and CM Punk was trying to revive him doing the X of the Doctor. Like, it's stuff like that. And I'm not saying it because it's Punk. I'm just saying, like, they're very, they do things in poor taste all the time. This is not a new phenomenon.
Yeah.
Whenever,
And that's why nobody takes wrestling seriously.
Yeah, like whenever, Arn Anderson and WCW had to retire the very next week.
The NWO.
NWO did that spot bit. Like,
yeah, wrestling is the king of cheap.
Yeah.
You know? And to be fair, a lot, I mean, most of the fans of wrestling eat it up.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Oh yeah, no. The majority do.
We get offended by it, but most wrestling fans are okay with it.
And I will say too, like, I kind of think part of it might have been, that was kind of his gut reaction, because he even later on the night he said, appreciate all the kind words tonight and even the dissenting opinions. I turned something private to public. I'm not perfect. I just miss him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, clearly, the death of his dad clearly affected him. Anyone who's followed him, like, even inside the ring.
Yeah.
Can tell that.
Yeah.
And I will say too, I kind of feel he might be a little overly defensive just in the sense that look how WWE historically has treated Dusty Rhodes. Before 2014.
Yeah.
Look at how.
Before NXT, before he became the king of NXT, they very much treated him as a
secondary, like he was, you know, and because even, he made his mark in NWA and WCW.
I mean, part of the reason they even brought him into WWE originally or WWF at the time was to embarrass him. And he took that embarrassment and made it his own.
Do you remember how they got rid of him in NXT as the general manager?
I actually don't. I don't think I was watching at the time.
It was around the same time that Cody and Goldust were feuding with the Authority.
Yeah.
So the Shield through proxy.
Yeah.
And it was basically, I don't remember if it was Triple H that came out or it was JBL himself that came out, but they were just like, the authorities deemed that you're just too, you're not capable of doing what we need you to do. So you're not going to be the commissioner of NXT anymore. It's going to be JBL. And this was in 2013 whenever they won the belts. This was around the same time where the Brotherhood won the belts. And, they just kicked him off for JBL, who showed up about three more times after that. And then William Regal just kind of took over. Like, that's how they got rid of Dusty Rhodes on NXT television. Just a very throwaway moment, which was just ridiculous. Like, I was legitimately mad about that.
Which, to be fair, though, they did move him from NXT to being a full-time character on Raw.
And also exits in WWE, that's part of the course. Yeah. You know, they usually embarrass you. Remember Eric Bischoff, when he left, they threw him in a dumpster.
Well, yeah, but, like, that was Eric Bischoff who quit after that. Dusty was still running NXT at that point. Dusty ran NXT until he passed. Like
he was one of the creative.
He was the one that worked with him on their promos and worked with them and things like that. I don't know. They've just historically been really bad with him.
They've been historically bad with just how they treat people on the way out. There's only one person I can remember that left on a high note, and that's Trish Stratus. Because when she retired, she won the title.
I was thinking
of Lita.
Daniel Bryan, Edge. Both of them got real.
Well, but I think it's a little different in the sense that they had to retire because of health.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about someone that just left the company. Like somebody that said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore.
I mean, but Trish was retired. I mean, she was still retiring.
She didn't have to retire. Like, it's not like Daniel Bryan or Edge where it's like, mm-hmm. okay, doctors say I have to go, so here's my big moment. It was more of a, okay, well, I'm done with this. I'm not gonna do this anymore. They didn't embarrass her on her way out like Lita.
I was about to say, I was like, no, they didn't.
Trish won the title when she left. She didn't get a big speech or anything, but she won the title and then relinquished it the very next day, which to me was unheard of. And I don't think they've done that since.
Not on someone's last match, I don't think.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
They might do it with Goldberg.
You think he'll win the title and just give it up?
I don't want it.
I side with Cody Rhodes on this. I don't like cheap heat. I don't like those segments.
Yeah. I didn't like the segment, but at the same time, I kind of.
You understand why they
did it. I see both sides of it. It's hard for me to really. Catch me in a different mood, and I might change my answer on this. This is just something that, like, I get both sides' point to it.
But here's my criticism for it, is if you have a guy, if you have a pair of guys like Gallows and Anderson, legit badasses who were huge in Japan with the Bullet
Club.
Is this
the same argument we've been making for, like, the last 4 or 5
since
months.
They debuted, basically.
Yeah.
Or since the draft.
Just people in general. But if you have these talented guys and the way that you're going to get them over as bad guys and make people hate them is by ripping the head off a teddy bear that was in memory of Dusty Rhodes, you got bad writing. If you can't turn these two legit badasses into, you know, threats other than picking on a teddy bear, you got bad writers.
That's one of the things that someone was talking about on Reddit. They were asking, like, okay, so what's the difference? Why, if Vince McMahon is in charge of both, why is SmackDown so much better than Raw? And it's the writing teams.
Yeah.
Vince has final say, but it's two totally different teams.
Right.
That are going at it. That are writing the shows.
And Raw has terrible writing. Case in point. Let's get to the first.
Speaking of cases.
Yeah. The first angry moment. Allie, on Monday, you and I, we were relaxing. We were hanging out.
Yep.
And we were watching King of the Hill. And it was fantastic. Yeah. Because King of the Hill is a great show. Mm-hmm. King of the Hill ended. The Cleveland show came on. You know what's not a fantastic show, Asa?
The Cleveland show.
So I said, you know what? We'll turn Raw on. I was sick. She was sick. So we were avoiding the store because we didn't feel well. So we're like, let's turn Raw on. We turned Raw on. We just happened to catch it at the Bayley segment. And I thought, okay, let's see where this goes. I like Bayley. So Bayley talks. She brags about her victory last week. That makes her number one contender. She's a little goofy. She does kind of, She does kind of act like everyone's little sister, which is the point, obviously.
They've really turned up her character, her like naive, fun little kid character.
Yeah.
They've turned that up to like 11 versus what it was in NXT. And I'm not a huge fan of it.
She really.
I don't like her with a mic.
I don't like her now with a mic.
Yeah, now. In NXT, she was great.
So she does this, and then out comes Charlotte. And I remember the first thing I thought when Charlotte came out, and I looked at Allie and I said, wow, she looks gorgeous. Which I mentioned because I normally make jokes because I'm a dick. But in reality, Charlotte Flair is great in the ring and a lovely woman. And I loved her robe. She just looked very, like, she just looked awesome. So she comes out of the ring and I'm like, okay, what do we got going here? And then in a year full of dumb, in a year full of insulting, this may have been the one that angered me the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain this one. I'm not even going to throw this one to you. What happened was Charlotte said her dad always told her to keep a good lawyer on hand. So she had her lawyer talk to Stephanie McMahon and agreed that due to a ref error. Stupidity, the match was wiped off the record book.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets a rematch tonight with a fair and balanced ref, Dana Brooke.
Which the opening of that segment was Bayley bragging that she now has pinned Charlotte three times in a row.
Yeah.
So Charlotte's response was, well, nope, now it's only twice because we've deleted this last match off the records. Because her shoulder came up before the three, the referee was out of position. Blah,
which
blah, blah.
Which did happen.
Also, something that we mentioned earlier talking about Raw is remember like 2 weeks ago when Charlotte was talking about how she couldn't stand being Ric Flair's daughter.
Yeah.
And it was the worst, and she hates, you know.
Well, she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth now.
But now, oh, well, I never had to, you know, play the lottery or
wait in line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just talking up all the benefits of being Flair's daughter.
And then, because Flair was paying your mother and so much every month.
I was going to say, and also, if Flair's advice was to get have a good lawyer, he should follow his own advice. Because the only lawyers he's ever spoken to were divorce lawyers.
And unfortunately.
Well, and not on his side.
Yeah.
And that in itself is a problem.
So,
but
your big thing.
Here's my big thing is that every time something unfair happens, and how many times have we seen something stupid happen on wrestling? Like,
the entire feud of the Miz versus Dolph Ziggler.
Miz versus Zack Ryder. When Maurice, cheated to help Miz win. Any Miz match, honestly, where Miz has distracted whatever. So Charlotte Flair gets a lawyer to reverse the decision because all ref decisions are final. Why doesn't every single wrestler now lawyer up and get all of the stupid decisions reversed? This is bad storytelling. This is the worst storytelling.
Yeah, it sets a very dangerous precedent. Like, why would?
Well, that's because they don't expect you to remember this next week. Everything that happens in WWE happens in a vacuum.
Especially so now that. The worst part of it that you're not even, did you watch the match that they had?
No, I turned it off.
Because whenever she said, oh, and I was guaranteed a ref that was gonna call it down the line.
And what did I say?
He said, watch me turn this off.
You said, watch it be Little Mage.
No, because first you said, watch me turn this off whenever Dana Brooke comes out. I said, or Lil Nate.
Lil Nate would have made more sense.
He's an actual ref that.
And he's a friend of Ric
Flair. Except they wanted you to forget that segment too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm smarter than that. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I appeal to the lowest common denominator, Hunter.
And then, you know, Dana Brooke came out and we turned it off.
So.
We did indeed.
Do you know what happened in that match?
No. I know Charlotte won due to Dana Brooke.
Well, here you go. Bayley lays out Dana Brooke. A real ref comes out. Dana Brooke lays out that ref. Bayley gets in, Dana Brooke's face. Charlotte rolls her up, puts her feet on the ropes, and Dana does a fast count.
So did Bayley get a good lawyer?
I was gonna say, if next week Bayley doesn't come out and immediately try to contest, like.
Oh, Tonga! That'd be awesome. Otunga's a better lawyer than he is a wrestler.
But he's only a lawyer on SmackDown, so he can't.
No! This is the dumbest thing that I've seen all year.
And then to immediately have the exact same thing happen, and if Bayley doesn't try to do, which the argument is, oh, well, Bayley is a sport.
She's a scrapper.
She is a good sport. Like, she takes a loss in stride because she knows she can beat Charlotte. She doesn't need to get that loss expunged. Why not?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just, okay, well, you can't beat me fair, so you don't beat me at all.
Why would you let the cheater cheat you?
Yeah. You're just letting her get away with it, especially for their championship match, and it ends up as Charlotte cheats to win it.
Which she will.
Then no.
Dana Brooke will be involved, probably.
It's just, Yeah, it's infuriating.
It is infuriating. It's terrible. It made me turn off wrestling for the week, and I haven't watched anything else, and yep. I stand by that. That made me so mad. I don't understand. Did they just fire the head writer of the women's division, more or less? The guy that was pushing
the head writer of Raw, yeah.
Yeah. So they fire him, and the next week you have, in a long line of that pissed me off moments in women's wrestling, you have the one that pissed me off the most. Mm-hmm. Is it a coincidence? I don't know. What will happen next week? I don't care.
I mean, at least it's not Sasha and Charlotte.
It's not, but I've checked out on Charlotte. I've checked out on her. And, you know, you thought, okay, well, if they move her past Sasha and give her Bayley, maybe now it'll be fresh and you might be interested in Charlotte again. I'm not. Because now you're giving her this stupid, stupid gimmick or storyline where she lawyers up, convinces Stephanie McMahon to get ripped. Because apparently her lawyer is so good that she got the match removed and then cheated. I get it. It's building heat. Mm-hmm. You're going to make me mad and you make me angry, but you're making me legitimately angry. This ain't heat. This is X-Pac heat.
This is pure fury. I don't want to see her anymore.
This isn't will they or won't they. This is I know they won't, and I don't want them to.
Speaking of that, Stephanie McMahon starting off the show as welcome to doing her best Vince McMahon impression because she feels like she has to, like getting the crowd all hyped up, immediately turns heel. Just again because they need her to be today, I guess. Talking about for the first time ever, do you want to see a Shield reunion? Please ignore last week's main event of Roman Reigns teaming with Seth Rollins to take on Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho.
When I read about that, I thought maybe they had Dean Ambrose come in too.
They did not.
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, you're not, you Chicago fans are so easy to manipulate. And she just went full heel. But again, on Monday, she's probably just going to try to start out again, just happy Steph, savior of the women's division. And
I remember that. Yeah.
They need to. I'm so sick of the authority.
We were sick of the authority a year ago.
4 years ago.
It's terrible.
It needs to just die.
And then you said Money in the Bank is going to be in St. Louis.
Yep.
Of June, 18th, right?
2 days after my birthday.
And you were excited about it. And I thought, oh, we could go see, you know, I could take Allie to a pay-per-view. Allie's never been to a pay-per-view.
Asa can take me to a pay-per-view. I've never been to a pay-per-view.
But then
it's my
I thought, no. Like, no, I don't want to go see it.
SmackDown. The big thing is it's a SmackDown exclusive, which I don't like.
For Money in the Bank?
If they're gonna keep one briefcase, I really feel like that should be you have four Raw guys, four SmackDown guys.
Yeah. Ooh, like the old WrestleManias?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It
makes sense. So keep it the goddamn away from WWE.
Except,
because in Meek Man Land, nothing makes sense.
But if they're going to do it on only one show, they should do it on Raw. Because SmackDown has five viable contenders for the WWE Championship, and one of them is the champion.
Well, let me ask you this. Who are the five hottest wrestlers in WWE right now?
AJ Styles.
Think about it. Hold on. Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns.
No.
Roman Reigns.
I get the bit you're doing.
Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns.
Dylon.
Because he spits hot fire.
No, it's Becky Lynch.
Sure. Sure. All right. So let's move past Charlotte and Raw. I can't say enough bad things about it.
I
wanted to ask Allie, I'm like, what was your opinion of the segment? Because you're just going to agree with us, but I want to hear you. I want to hear it come out of your mouth. What was your opinion of the segment that we watched?
It was the one segment we watched.
Yeah.
It was get animated. Stupid.
Tone it down, Allie.
You're clearly hysterical. It's all about emotion. All right. Allie says it's stupid. Moving on.
Oh, we got another Emelina preview, but this time she had a voiceover.
I heard.
And she said
it'll be worth the wait.
It'll be worth the wait.
It won't.
No.
Because you've already shown me in her bikini and her underwear. Mm-hmm. That's the gimmick, right? I've seen it. So what's she going to do if she does anything?
I still hope for the
The Dustin Runnels 7 turn.
That I was she's trying to come think out the Tyrus say, version, Brodus Clay version.
Oh, that she's just gonna come out as a joke?
No, that she's being advertised as this joke, but she's just gonna come out as black gloves, aviators, black lipstick, awesome Emma.
Oh, you mean the good gimmick that got her over?
Yeah.
Why do that? Well, Kurt Angle has an app.
Yeah. Which is actually good news.
Tell us about this one. I'm gonna check out for a few minutes. Go ahead.
I don't know that much about it other than it launches January 15th, and it is designed to help people struggling with addiction. I think it's supposed to be kind of a support network for people struggling with addiction.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. a little bit of irony, and I'm trying not to be mean, mm-hmm. but a little bit of irony that Kurt Angle, the reason he left WWE was because they wanted him to get help.
Yeah.
And instead went to TNA where they didn't care.
But and think how long ago that was.
That was a long time ago, and hopefully Kurt Angle has...
I was gonna say, if anyone knows about the struggles of addiction, it's Kurt Angle.
Yes. So maybe he saw the error of his ways and said, you know what, I'm going to help other people, not make the mistake that I made.
Right. Yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. That was over 10 years ago.
Yeah, he was in, was in TNA for longer than he was in WWE.
Which is nuts, isn't it? That's crazy.
Same with the Dudley Boys. They were in TNA and WWE both longer than they were in ECW.
Mm-hmm. My brother was an addict. My brother is an addict, probably. Mm-hmm. My dad was addicted to, I mean, cigarettes, but my brother was an addict. Mm-hmm. A lot of my friends growing up were addicts, and it's hard to get help for people like that. Anybody that has an addict that they know or the family member knows that it's a struggle mm-hmm. to try to help them get clean. So this is great. Anything that helps.
Well,
people
and a
like
big
that.
Chunk of that too is like, look at any study that's been done on the subject, and the likelihood of someone staying clean when they don't, or seeking help when they don't want help.
Yeah.
It's in the toilet.
Did you hear about, I know this is off topic, but this is 90% tangent. Did you hear about the inmate who refused the pardon from President Obama? He was serving a couple years for drugs mm-hmm. and he was going to get out, I believe, a year early, on the condition that he attended rehab for his drug addiction, and refused it because he didn't want to go to rehab.
No, I did not.
Yeah. Refused the pardon.
Huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope it works out, and I hope it helps people.
Yep.
Definitely. Brock and Shane, their big WrestleMania main event, possibly gone. And thank God.
Oh, yes, please. That was from the Wrestling Observer. Yeah.
Meltzer.
Radio Meltzer. Yeah. That Vince saw more money in Shane Lesnar than he did in Lesnar Goldberg, which was part of the reason that was at Survivor Series, which is where but the rematch is probably going to happen at WrestleMania.
Which is good. They can finally get that Mania match that we deserved years ago. And Shane, no matter how much, you know, they push Shane as the alpha male,
mm-hmm.
which he's fantastic. Again, I don't think Shane McMahon has anything left to prove. He's proved that
he can't
throw
a punch.
Well, yeah. They're phantom punches. It's less of the contact and more of the wind resistance.
It's a wind type.
Yeah.
It's gust. Yeah. He's using gust.
Goldberg, Lesnar will definitely sell us, depending on what they do with them at the Rumble.
Not me.
I could care less.
They didn't sell me at Survivor Series.
You couldn't care less. When you say I could care less, that means that you could care less than you care now.
Which means you care some.
Which means you care.
Let's move on. Dalton Stupid, we know
Slam.
This.
Same thing about the last Goldberg Lesnar match, and remember how we all
surprised.
Stood up and we're like, holy hell, that's cool.
Yeah,
what if they surprise us again at Rumble?
But it doesn't matter because he's already up 2-0. It makes no sense for him to take this fight.
Yep.
Unless
Lesnar screws him out of
obliterates him at Royal Rumble.
Which, but again, like I didn't like the WrestleMania match. They didn't have a match.
No. They had a spectacle.
And I'm at the point where I'm so bored with Lesnar. I don't want to see him wrestle anyone.
Well, you're not going to see him fight in UFC.
Good. I don't want him on TV.
Really? But, you're at that point?
Yes. I want Paul Heyman to be paired with someone that he gives a shit about, other
Goldberg?
Than Lesnar. Not really, because I also don't really care about Goldberg. I know I'm in the minority of that, and that's fine.
No, you're not. I liked Goldberg in his appearance. I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was shocking.
And if that would have been it,
yeah.
I would have been so okay with it. I don't want to see him eliminate 7 people at the Rumble.
No.
I don't want to see him possibly win the Rumble. I don't want him in a championship match.
No.
Icky. It's all icky to me.
There's a couple things that WWE will consistently do and consistently do and consistently do. And one of those things is push guys that were over before.
At the expense of
people that they need to push now.
Yeah.
It happened last year at WrestleMania. We all remember that debacle when mm-hmm. Stone Cold and Shawn Michaels and
Mick Foley
came out and embarrassed the League
New
of
Day
Nations and New Day.
Yep.
They'll do it over and over again. And I have no doubt that they won't put the belt on Goldberg, but he'll definitely be main event.
Oh.
You think they'll put the gold on him?
I wouldn't put it past him. It wouldn't surprise me. I hope they don't, and I don't think that that's what they're actively building towards.
Well, maybe you can hold on to the hope that Vince McMahon's hatred of WCW will still make him see him as a WCW guy like Sting,
mm-hmm.
and they'll dangle the carrot in front of him and snatch it away.
Put him in a match with Rollins.
No. No.
What? That'd be entertaining.
No.
It would
sweet
be.
Baby.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
But yeah, no, I don't want Lesnar back on TV. I'm bored with his just suplexes and... It's boring. He's not the spectacle is
it's gone.
Over for me
the
now.
The bloom is off the rose.
Yep.
Dalton,
it has been for months.
I mean, yeah, I've been saying that
for a while.
Did you
and Ali just sit there and look bored?
I was excited for his match against Randy Orton. And then, no, we're just not going to have that. It's just going to be him suplexing people again.
Again, we got a spectacle. And, a bloodletting.
Yeah, of him putting Randy Orton, who had been on the injured list for 9 months, back on the injured list with a concussion.
Yeah. Dalton, you bored with Lesnar?
Yeah, I have. I've been saying that for a while now.
Ali, you bored with Lesnar?
Yeah, I'm not bored with the little Lesnar figure I got you that was a dollar. Where his face is too long.
Little baby legs.
He looks like Jack from Tekken. He really does. He looks in that figure, he looks like Jack from Tekken.
Like instead of Cena and Prototype, it's just Lesnar.
Yeah. Where do we go from here? Mickie James is going to be starting on SmackDown soon.
Yes. Woot.
Nothing much to say about that other than awesome.
Yeah, she was doing her like physical and blood work, I guess, stuff. So,
glad to see Mickie James on there again. I love Mickie James.
So on SmackDown this week, Alexa Bliss and Becky Lynch had their rematch for the title. And
how did that go? Because I didn't see it.
It ended with La Luchadora coming back down to the ring and distracting Becky.
Oh, so it's the Conquistadors all over again.
Kinda. So, and they're like, well, who's this? And they're like, I don't know. And they asked her and she's like, I don't know. It might have been Sasha Banks. No, she was bigger than Sasha Banks.
Sasha Jenks!
Bung yucks. she was bigger than Sasha Banks. Okay, I don't know, Banks. Nia Jax? And then she just walks off.
Wait, who were they asking?
Alexa Bliss. They're like, who was that? I don't know, Sasha Banks? Well, no, she was bigger than Sasha Banks. Then Nia Jax. And I kind of was half expecting her to pull the mask off and it'd be Mickie James again. Or not again, but to be Mickie James.
Yeah.
But
well,
do you
know who it was? Like, who did
No,
it
they
like?
Didn't. They didn't actually reveal it.
Who do you think?
Mickie James isn't a bad bet.
Natalya.
No, she's got the Nikki Bella feud.
But that's the thing, is like literally every other SmackDown female competitor.
Naomi?
Liv Morgan.
No, because I think she had blonde hair.
Really? Liv Morgan. Mandy Rose.
It could be Liv Morgan. Yeah. I mean,
Eva Marie with the new hair job.
Oh.
All yellow everything?
He might not be wrong. No! You just put that in the atmosphere. That's
no, she actually was useful. Like, she seemed like she knew what she was doing. Near a wrestling ring.
Eva Marie knows what she's doing. She just can't do it. That's the problem. So good for Mickie James. Can't wait to see her back. Yeah. Dalton, you had something to say?
That reminded me of the whole bunny thing. That was one of my Christmas gifts, was the Adam Rose bunny 2-pack. So now I have a bunny action figure that's in scale with the rest of them.
No.
I'm so happy.
You made out like a little wrestling bandit this
year
for Christmas.
Tito Santana, Dean Malenko,
Undertaker.
Someone finally bought one of those Tito Santana elites.
Tito Santana literally got a beeper. Like,
no,
he
it was
got
from
a page.
Goodwill. It was from Goodwill. He didn't get anything from that.
Did he work there?
Probably. He's a teacher. Did you know that?
Well, what does he teach?
Spanish?
Headlocks.
I'm not even mascot.
He's the wrestling coach.
You walk into his classroom and sit down, and he just gets on the blackboard and just says, okay, what not to do in life. And the first thing says, be Tito Santana.
Then he just cries for the other 48 minutes.
He just sits there like Al Bundy in that clip at the shoe store. And just sits there with his hands in his face. Well, Ethan's done. Ethan's laughing.
I'm sorry, Tito. You probably listened to the show.
But no, he's legitimately a Spanish teacher. I'm not even joking.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. He speaks Spanish.
Yeah. I hope so. Unless he's Senior Chang.
Yay! We got community in an episode.
Oh, all right. This one is very funny to me. And this one really makes me laugh. So tell me, Asa, you said this earlier, but tell the fans out there. The WWE had a poll.
Yeah.
And this is my favorite thing of the week, I think.
WWE.com.
This is the official story of the week.
WWE.com ran a poll, asking the fans who should main event WrestleMania 33. And it had a whole list of superstars. Well, AJ Styles was winning by huge numbers. He had like 47%. Roman Reigns had like 7%.
Jeez.
Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho were both up there. Seth Rollins was very popular, but AJ Styles was far and away the leader. WWE.com removed the poll. So they didn't announce the winner. They didn't post like the actual, the results of it. They just straight up took it down.
I'd like to think that it's something happened that they had to for technical reasons. But that petty part of me really believes that because AJ Styles was so far ahead that they were like, well, that's not the answer we want. Click.
Well, wasn't there one like 2 years ago that it was like Superstar of the Year and Roman Reigns was right above Daniel Bryan, but it was in the same click area. So if you clicked on Daniel Bryan, it counted for Roman Reigns.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't remember that.
I vaguely remember it.
So someone posted the final numbers, it looks like. 40% AJ Styles. The next highest was 12% The Undertaker.
Oh.
10% Finn Balor, 7% Goldberg, 5% John Cena, 4% Roman Reigns, 3% for Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, Kevin Owens, Sasha Banks, Seth Rollins, and then 1% Brock Lesnar, Charlotte Flair, and The Miz, and then 4% other.
I mean, that's rough. That's rough for WWE.
So that might be, you know, you have The Undertaker.
Who has shown up
12%.
Once. Yeah.
And AJ Styles at 40, so.
I'm sure there's a lot of people in WWE that think, because they still have this mentality of, oh, well, he's the indie darling.
Right.
So the internet fanboys are clicking
like
crazy.
Which, I mean, to be fair, they have treated AJ Styles incredibly well this year.
They have that match, the blow-off match. I showed Allie the match with Ellsworth, mm-hmm. which was, I mean, I would have saved that for a pay-per-view, and I would have had him just obliterate him all around the ring. But for what it was.
The way they did it was great.
It was, because it was completely like AJ Styles outclassed him. This mm-hmm. is a joke. Why are you people laughing? AJ Styles is a monster, and I don't think they should be surprised that people are such big fans of AJ Styles. Remember his debut at the Rumble?
Oh, yeah, the close-up of Roman Reigns' face?
Yeah.
The number one comment on that post on Reddit was, the WWE don't want none. Oh, now I'm sad.
I would take an AJ Styles Undertaker match at Mania.
That was supposed to be the match for... I don't know if it was Money in the Bank or Rumble. Which one is Cena and Styles wrestling at?
Rumble.
Royal Rumble.
Yeah, originally the plan apparently was Taker versus Styles, and that's why they brought him back. I just read this earlier today. I don't know if you read it.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, the plan was Taker versus Styles for the title, and they changed it at the last minute to do Cena versus Styles, which...
Oh, I don't like that at all. Oh, I don't like that at all.
Because
that,
you could have had Taker win, Cena win the Rumble, and then Cena versus Taker at WrestleMania for the belt.
See, which might have been the plan. I think what they're going to do instead is career versus title. You put the title on Cena, so he puts up the title in Undertaker's career. But if Undertaker has the championship, then he loses the title and his career. I don't want none. I don't want none.
Right, you know, here's I'm my fine. Prediction right I now. I would take that.
I would be fine with like a career match. I would be fine with a Cena Undertaker match. It doesn't, that feud does not need the championship.
Not at all.
Well, yeah, you're right on that. But I mean, if that's what they gave me, I'd be fine with it. I'd be like, all right, cool. I'm in.
I wouldn't be. Yeah, I would much rather see AJ Styles defend that title at WrestleMania.
It's just like New Day, where you know eventually they have to break the New Day up. But at the same time, you think, I just want them to stay together forever.
Mm-hmm.
I want AJ Styles to be SmackDown champion forever. I don't want him to ever lose the title.
He's at the point.
He's
like,
so
he's
good.
Gotten over. He's at over 100 days on his reign. Like, he's gotten a really strong reign, and he's beaten some legit people for it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with AJ Styles losing the title at this point. Like, I really am, especially because then he can always re-challenge for it, become a 2-time champ, whatever. I just don't want to see it. I just don't want to see it on Cena again.
Yeah.
Because he returned on SmackDown this week, which
yes.
is something
we'll
else we're going to
segue to this
about.
Next moment. Yeah.
And he talked about, like, you know, oh, there's, you know. All this talk about him being a part-timer and going, yeah. leaving for Hollywood and never coming back and this new era BS. Well, no, it's the my time is now era.
He also backtracked on his comments about The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because of course he did. Hunter put it perfectly in the group chat of, oh, look, the pot realized he'd turned black. Like, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And so now he's, and then he even said like, and for all the people saying, oh, I can't just come in and say I want a title match at the Royal Rumble. Well, I just did. I'm John Cena. Like,
I like that.
I don't. Like, we've seen him do better promos. We've seen him have better stories.
I thought the time is over, my time is now thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that time was over. I thought the time was over of seeing John Cena in unfair title matches and being Super Cena. I thought we were finally past that.
If he comes in and doesn't have a single match or just like... When he comes in without winning a match and just gets a title shot, if he wins that belt, even though AJ Styles did beat him at SummerSlam, that just makes AJ look like a little punk. They're like, oh, yeah, so I've beaten all these people on SmackDown, but then this guy just shows up and
you know
wipes the floor. It's the same thing with Shane McMahon versus Brock Lesnar.
So
Hold on.
Are you going to do the one I think you're going to do?
I don't know. Let me say it real quick. You can tell me if this is what you were thinking.
All right.
To me, it sounds a lot like when Alberto Del Rio came back and beat John Cena.
No, I was going to say The Rock whenever he beat Punk. Because I saw the picture of it was like that Royal Rumble with Rock and Punk, but then Cena's face was on The Rock and AJ Styles' face was on Punk.
No, to me, it feels more like when Cena beat everyone for that challenge and mm-hmm. was on a roll, mm-hmm. and then Alberto Del Rio just shows up and beats him clean, and it's like, okay, well, that was weird. Now Cena's just going to show up after AJ's done all this
except
and beat
not,
AJ.
Except we're not used to Alberto Del Rio steamrolling the entire roster.
But that's true. And that was the surprise moment of that. But it's still, I mean, I think you guys would admit it felt weird. And there's this thing in the wrestling community where every time someone beats John Cena clean mm-hmm. like that, we all cheer and go, wow, that was cool. Because that never happens.
Right.
But for John Cena to do it to AJ Styles, not as much fun.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but AJ's going to look great in his loss. He's going to look like $1 million.
Yeah.
But he already beat John Cena, so it's fine. You can just take the belt off of him now and no one will. I don't like it.
I really, really want John Cena to beat Flair's record.
Why?
Because John Cena deserves it more.
Why?
John Cena has won that belt as many times as he has.
Can I do the Futurama? Let me do the Futurama bit. The robot.
I'm about to make a valid point and then
what?
Are you going to do the bit?
He just what? Did.
All right, cool. So John Cena has held that belt as many times as he had, held that company on his back for as long as he did. And that was at a time whenever that was the only company. Ric Flair was able to do that. And I think really only three of his title reigns were really meaningful on the main, like, national stage. But everybody's like, no, it's John Cena. He doesn't deserve it. John Cena deserves to have that record.
I believe John Cena deserves a lot, but I don't know, man. You can't just give someone a record because. Like Ric Flair.
He's earned that record.
It is a different time now than it was when Ric Flair was.
You're right. It's more impressive.
I don't agree with that.
Ric
Flair never had to wrestle Edge in his prime. He wrestled him, didn't have to wrestle him in his prime. He didn't have to wrestle Batista. He didn't have to wrestle all of these bigger names, all these people that are
actually. Whoa, hold on. You're getting a little silly there, talking about the bigger.
Do you want to talk about who Ric Flair has wrestled over
his
career?
Ric Flair has wrestled a lot of like nobodies at different territories.
He's also been involved in some of the greatest feuds of all time.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong.
I get what you're saying.
I actually agree with you. I think John Cena is more deserving of the record now. Because even outside of wrestling, he's done a lot for WWE.
Yeah, he's been a better goodwill ambassador.
He's a great ambassador to wrestling as a whole. And I do think that, you know, if anyone deserves to beat Ric Flair's record, it's John Cena.
And not Triple H.
I mean, I would argue that Triple H would also deserve it, but I think he would be less deserving than John Cena. But
yeah,
I agree on that one. At the same time, like, I don't want to see Cena start getting these just kind of like sympathy reigns that do nothing but build towards the record.
Yeah.
Especially at the expense of people like AJ Styles or Dolph Ziggler or whoever.
Because let me let you on a little secret. All right. Wrestling is scripted. Hear me out. Wrestling is scripted. So awards and stuff like that are honestly meaningless when they're given to you. John Cena didn't beat someone in a legitimate contest to win a title 16, 17 times. John Cena doesn't need that record to be important to the history of wrestling.
So
there's no reason, like Asa said, there's no reason to take people who need more exposure like AJ Styles. There's no reason to take titles off of them to give to John Cena to get a record that he doesn't need in the first place because it's not really a legitimate record.
I mean, he doesn't need the record, but at the same time, like, it is nice. Like, remember how happy we were when the New Day won the record. Like, that was, or at least I was. Like,
oh, I was too, and then lost the title the week after.
Yeah, which was a bummer. But, like, the recognition of it, like, cause even, you know, the titles themselves, like, giving AJ Styles the WWE Championship, we all agree, was one of the biggest moments of the year.
Yeah.
But it's scripted. He didn't actually beat John Cena. But it's still, like, you know, you can see those backstage segments of people coming from behind the curtain holding the belt and weeping. Because that is the WWE's way and Vince McMahon's way of, okay, here you go. This is an appreciation or a chance or a show of respect for your contributions to the business and the sport.
But don't you think there's a difference between giving someone a title for the first time and making it a big segment and giving someone a record that's been held for so long by someone just because you think, okay, well, he deserves the record now, and then taking it from people like AJ Styles to help with that record? There's a difference.
The only difference, and again, I would like to reiterate, I don't want to see John Cena beat AJ Styles for the WWE Championship, but the difference is AJ Styles is never going to beat that record. AJ Styles already has a really good ring. He could become a 2-3 time champion. So he could could recover from it and still get another reign out of it. But long-term, short-term, yeah, I don't want to see it at all. Long-term, see how it plays out. It's whatever.
Well, I think a bigger fear should be that they pick the wrong person to take the record. Like, what if John Cena, okay, and here's where I get evil. What if John Cena's not the guy that they're priming for this? What if Roman Reigns. How many titles does Roman Reigns have already? Three?
Three, yeah.
And he's just beginning his career, honestly. I know he's been in there for a while, mm-hmm. but his solo career has years on it left, yeah, if he stays healthy.
About 7 to 8,
and
yeah.
you would say, well, I don't think Roman Reigns would deserve it. Why would they pick Roman Reigns to beat Ric Flair's, you know, title reigns? Mm-hmm. Well, why would they pick Brock Lesnar to beat The Undertaker streak? You talk about signs of respect, and this is what we're giving you because you've earned it. What did Brock Lesnar do to earn the right to take away The Undertaker's legendary streak, other than the fact that he was flavor of the month?
But in fairness, the whole Lesnar thing, they did pay that off later whenever they gave
him
the belt.
They did turn that into a multi-year story.
Yeah, like that became a multi-year
story.
Granted,
that story was terrible, and I hate it.
at the expense of The Undertaker's legacy. And he's still The Undertaker.
Yeah.
He's still The Undertaker. But you cannot deny
that there's a blemish.
There's an asterisk there that says legendary career, but this happened. You know? And so I could absolutely see them going, okay, Lesnar was our hot streak then. Reigns is our hot streak that we're going to put the machine behind. Let's bump him up 10 titles in 5 years. And at some point, he's going to beat Ric Flair's record. And they're going to be like, oh, wow, look, Roman Reigns is the new hot thing. And we'll disagree with it, mm-hmm. but...
But, I mean, in fairness, this argument you're making is the exact same that happened between 2009 to 2013 with John Cena. Where, like, within the course of, like, four or five years, he had the belt 8 times.
But I also think that John Cena at the time was over... And more of a viable contender than Roman Reigns was.
And
the difference is that John Cena at that time, the fans were behind him. Cena was getting huge reactions.
For a while.
Yeah.
For the first chunk of that.
Until the tail end of that time span I was saying, that's whenever that turn happened around, like, well, whenever it was the Punk. Yeah.
But Roman Reigns has never had that. He's never had that backing except when he was with the Shield. The moment they broke apart and everyone realized that Roman Reigns was the new Golden Boy, mm-hmm. instant turn on him.
Yeah.
Instant turn on him. And Cena
especially because it was at the expense of Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, again, another unfair, well, we don't agree with it, but the WWE will do what they want to do in spite of what we want.
Yeah.
That's the machine. One last thing. All right. Real quick. Lucha Underground is not taping until October 2017. That is a problem for people that can't work until then.
So basically the way that a lot of these guys signed contracts for anywhere from 5 to 7 seasons. I think Ricochet is exempt because he signed like a 3-season deal or by certain number of episodes.
Yeah.
Lucha Underground was originally supposed to start taping season 4 last month. Like they're airing, they have enough episodes filmed that they're going to air, I think, into the summer. So it's not like there's going to be a huge gap of with no content. The problem comes from these guys who signed contracts for 7 seasons. They're basically removing any sort of chance from working somewhere that would put them on TV.
Right.
So they could still work, you know, in ROH. They could still work in PWG, just nothing filmed for TV. So they can take these independent bookings, like, you know, from especially like smaller companies. But, you know, if someone got in, like, they can't get offers from NXT, TNA, New Japan, certain ROH tapings. Like, so it's...
And they need to make money.
Apparently morale is at a very low point.
Which is unfortunate.
Really unfortunate because Lucha Underground is doing some really cool stuff. I think you would enjoy it if you went in knowing that this is presented as a TV show that has wrestling in it instead of a wrestling show.
It's hard for me to turn that switch off, but I think that's because all I've seen in that style is broken Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
And we all know how I feel about that.
So hopefully that gets moved up or they kind of work.
Did they explain why?
I don't think so. Not that I saw anyway.
I'm curious to know why they would push the taping back a year almost. That's crazy. Like, that's a long time to be without work.
Yeah.
You know? And real quick, before we get to next week's announcement, because we're actually 54 minutes into the show.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't know. Allie's nodding because she's like, well, I wanted to talk about something.
And Allie's like, yeah, because it felt like I've been sitting here for 2 hours.
You okay?
I'm doing okay.
Okay. Asa, you and Dalton, share your story with this. You guys went with our old friend Jason Wells, from CCW and the champ, Brandon Barbwire.
Yep.
Against his will. He hated it. He didn't want to be there.
He got dragged along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you guys went to see Colt Cabana in St. Louis, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
He did unprofessional wrestling at the Duck Room, at Blueberry Hill. Unprofessional wrestling is basically Mystery Science Theater 3000, but with wrestling clips, bad wrestling clips. Him and Marty DeRosa sit on stage and make jokes, and they pick out all these clips ahead of time, show the clip, do commentary over it, and it was a lot of fun.
And also, I hear Kyle O'Reilly.
Kyle O'Reilly was there.
And Matt Sydal.
Matt Sydal.
Fresh off of his Japan tour.
Because they brought Matt Sydal up on stage, and as they were introducing him, that's what Colt Cabana said. He's like, fresh off of his tour of Japan?
Did he even do anything, or was he just there?
No, he did comedy.
Like, yeah, okay. He, I mean, he was only up there for like two or three video segments, and then he went back down. But
that's still pretty awesome. Yeah. And I love the fact that you guys said that Colt Cabana himself told you where to go.
Yeah, so we walk into Blueberry Hill, and we round the corner of the bar, and we're not sure where exactly to go. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Jason starts talking to someone. I look over, and it's, oh, that's Colt Cabana. You're who we're here to see. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's downstairs. Go down the hall.
He's like, it's a wrestling thing. It's not going to be funny. Yeah. That's literally what he told us.
Colt Cabana said that?
Yeah.
And then I just glance over at Dalton because I'm expecting the drool just to be like,
yeah. Poor,
which I mean, he was kind of like, why? I'm imagining what it was when I saw Mark Waid at the Indiana Comic Con.
Yeah.
And just kind of gushed at him about him saving Daredevil.
Yeah. Oh, I did that when I met him. I did the exact, and I said I wasn't going to do it, and that's exactly what I did.
And then after the show, they were selling merch, so we got the chance to buy stuff and talk to him and. We got a picture with him.
Yeah. I saw the picture of you guys with Colt, and that was really cool.
Mm. Yeah.
Now I heard you guys almost got a picture with, what happened?
Well, we almost didn't get a picture with Kyle O'Reilly. Jason quasi got a picture with Kyle O'Reilly, like his finger's in the picture.
I hope Brandon's listening, because I like this story.
$1 million champ, horrible photographer. Jason, you should have brought Mandy.
Yeah.
Well, tell him what happened. Tell him what happened.
Well, this is kind of the condensed version of it, but, Jason goes up and talks to Matt and Kyle because they were both at the bar. And he said, well, can we get a picture? And Brandon was there with the phone ready for the picture. And apparently, as Jason says, they all three got ready for the picture. Brandon took it. And whenever he got the phone, it was just him and Matt. Kyle was nowhere to be seen.
Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah. So that was, Jason's side. Brandon's side is the second that they all got ready for the pose, Kyle O'Reilly just fell right back into the bar. Like, he didn't fall, but he was just like, eh, now I'm going to go back to
the picture. He decided he wasn't going to pose for the picture. Yeah.
So what happened to Brandon on the way home?
So the entire car ride home, Jason was guilt tripping and just punishing Brandon by blasting Christmas music. Writing his own lyrics to the songs about how he wished he had a picture with Kyle O'Reilly.
It was basically any time, if you've ever listened to Ace make fun of me on the show, it was that, but from St. Louis to Cape Girardeau.
Basically, from Herculaneum till about 20 minutes outside of Cape, it was just random outbursts of the Eric Andre show, and it's time to deliver a pizza ball.
And every
Mellow Mike, you stay in Ranch? Like, I don't know the Eric Andre show, but it was just this over and over and over again.
Aww.
And then the last 20 minutes was listening to cartoon theme songs, which was much more enjoyable. Yeah.
Sprinkled with it's time to deliver a pizza ball. So anyway, my favorite part of the show was... And this was the one that I just loved. He made just a horrible joke. Colt Cabana just said a bad joke. He knew it was bad.
Yeah.
But we decided to kind of be sarcastic and clap, like, really enthusiastically.
But
louder.
And,
like, the nod. Like, you know what? No, that deserved better.
Just, yeah.
The David Letterman laugh.
So where we were sitting at, we were kind of behind Colt, or off to his side.
Yeah.
He turns around, points, smiles, and says... Those guys right there, those are the fans I need at every show. And
those are the kind of fans I want.
Yeah. And then, like, he tells another really bad joke, like, 5 minutes later, and then turns, like, because we didn't do anything yet.
Yeah.
Turns, points, he's like, where are my two guys at over there?
Where are my guys? Yeah. So we just start, we give him the courtesy clap.
Yeah. Again. Which was so neat, because I've been such a fan of Colt Cabana for, like,
Colt Cabana gets plenty of free advertising on our show, because between you and Zach Price, you guys, he was there as well.
Yeah,
you
know, he was there
old
as well.
PW guys, Zach Price was there. It sounds like a good time. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah,
it sounds like fun.
If you get a chance, it's anywhere near your area. Definitely check it out. It's certainly not PG, but it's a lot of fun.
I imagine.
It was a really good $12 spent. Like, it was like a 2-hour show.
And you got to meet Colt Cabana.
And I got to meet Colt Cabana.
Which is awesome. Mm-hmm. We got to wrap it up. Before we do, preview for next week. Next week's a big show on PWU. Short of something groundbreaking happening, mm-hmm. the entire show is probably going to be devoted to this. I say that only because there's a couple days left in 2016. You never know who's going to go.
I
have a mental list of people I expect in the next 3 days.
There's this GoFundMe to keep Betty White alive.
Yes.
I'd suggest that we instead pour just a bunch of money into a traveling nurse to make sure Chris Jericho is okay. Check his vitals every 30 minutes.
Okay, that's a funnier one than I thought you were going to say Bobby Heenan.
I mean, also
because Bobby Heenan I could legitimately see passing away.
Honestly, stop. At this point, like...
At this point, anyone's fair game.
Well, it's anyone's fair game, but I feel
2016's
like,
dress up in black trunks. It's walking through the sparklers. But it's just who's next.
It's Bobby Heenan is, to me, it's one of those, like, he had a great run. I would be incredibly sad to see him go.
Yeah.
But his time as contributing to the world of wrestling is probably over, which is absolutely heartbreaking, and I hate it. No, I'm not getting emotional right now.
No, you're not.
Whereas Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho, TJ Perkins.
Prime of their life.
Like, those are the ones that I'm really worried about, because 2016 is a monster.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's who it's going to try
to go
for.
That's tomorrow's show, by the way, folks. Yeah. Tune in to Tanner Thursday, where we're going to rip 2016 a new one. But unfortunately, 2016 is going to use that new hole to stuff more celebrities in. It's unfortunate. All right, but next week on PWU, it's going to be the first one of the new year. And yep. We've got our award show for the first time ever. We're going to list our what would you call it?
I'm writing this down now, just in case.
The what?
What were they? The Zillas.
The Zillas. It's the Zillas Awards.
I was about to ask what they would be called.
Yeah, you get a Zillas. And all wrestlers are invited to the show to win and pick up their statue. We're not going to get any statues because no one's going to show up. That's the goal. But we're going to have categories.
You said that in the microphone. It's fine. They didn't hear
it. They didn't hear it.
No one heard.
They checked out. We're going to have it on our Facebook. We're going to work with the guys at CCW.
The Podzilla 1985 Facebook page. Yeah. If you haven't yet, go give us a like.
Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
All of the shows get posted there. We're going to start doing a little bit more heavily involvement with that.
Because we really ignore the Facebook. For the most part, we just record the show, post them, and go enjoy.
Yeah.
And we're terrible about advertising because we just like to do this.
Yeah.
But we didn't expect this to be as successful as it
is. Most of the questions and stuff come mostly from Shannon's Facebook page, but we all will.
Because I'm the networker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We put stuff on our own, but we're going to try to do a little bit more with the actual Podzilla page.
And the polls are going to go up on the Podzilla page. And also, like I said, we're going to work with CCW. They're going to put some up on theirs, hopefully. I'll talk to Jason and Lee.
Unconfirmed. We're just kind of volunteering them for that.
Yeah.
They're going to do it.
A lot of volunteering tonight. I was going to volunteer something earlier. We're going to have the categories up for wrestler, tag team, all this stuff. And we want you guys to vote on who you think should be the winner. And we're gonna let the fans decide, right? Or are we going to pick?
I think we're going to pick, and then we will.
Let's do both. We'll pick, and we'll give the fans.
We'll do both.
We'll do the fans' choice and our choice. Mm-hmm. That's next week here on Pro Wrestling Unscripted. It's the first of the year award show, the Zillas. Mm-hmm. We're going to hand them out to our favorite wrestling stuff. We're going to post that. Stay tuned to that. It's going to be fun. I cannot wait for it. Tomorrow is Tanner Thursday. We're going to say goodbye to 2016 with double birds. And that's, I think that's it.
Do you want to do the CCW one now, or are we going to just post that up at the same time?
We'll post that at the same time. Yeah, because we're going to do one specifically for CCW because, we originally on this show tonight, we were going to talk about the year in review, but we're going to save a lot of that for next week. But one thing we can all agree on that was probably our favorite thing about wrestling this year was CCW.
Yep.
It came into our life. It's become a huge part of our lives. Mm-hmm. We could not be happier with those guys. So we're going to post all that. We'll see you next week with the Zillas. Pay attention. And we'll see you tomorrow for Tanner Thursday. Thank you so much for listening to us. We appreciate the hell out of you. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good night.